Welcome back to the Ojogo Bonito podcast. I'm your host, Jay Cron, and we are here with the usual panel of Mr. Ferguson and Mr. Jennings. Welcome back.
Hello, hello, hello.
Good morning, everyone.
What are we talking about today? We've got the World Cup in a couple of days.
Well, that is the dominating factor at the moment. It's World Cup season in November.
Yeah, absolutely. And what an interesting time of year to have a World Cup. As the colder and darker nights set in, do I dare say it might give everybody a lift during this bleak time of year? Not that Christmas isn't on the horizon and such like, but it could come at a good time. Jake, what are your thoughts?
I think the World Cup, especially in the winter, is going to be great. I think Qatar has had a lot of controversy, but I think Cristiano Ronaldo said this: Qatar is going to be the best World Cup ever. I think for the fans who are going to be there, they can watch up to 3 games a day, which is unheard of. And I think let's give it a go. Let's go with it. Go with an open mind, because likewise, when the Russia World Cup happened, people weren't wholly excited about it. There were a lot of skeptics. So I'm just bringing myself with an open mind.
I will say I've been looking at some of the stadiums that Qatar have built for this, and obviously there's some debate on the amount of migrant labour they've been using to build those stadiums. From a purely aesthetic standpoint, they're stunning.
Right.
They're really pretty. I love the... there's one stadium, I think it's... Is it Stadium 976? 974. It's so the outer wall of the stadium is built entirely from shipping containers so that it can then get completely taken down again after the World Cup. And they can send parts of it off to other bits of Qatar to be reused in that way. Because, being completely honest, they're not going to need 8 40,000 plus seater stadiums. That's not the kind of nation that Qatar is.
And what is the capacity of that 974? Is it 40,000?
It's quite large. I think it's... I want to say it's some of... Maybe it's 45,000. It could even be more than that. I think quite a lot of the stadiums are quite big.
40,000.
Is it 40,000? Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a few 20,000 stadiums that they've upgraded to 40,000. Because the idea, I think, is that any stadium that's bigger than 20,000 at the end of the World Cup, aside from the Lusail Stadium, they're then taking seats out of it and sending them elsewhere to be reused, so that pretty much everything except the Lusail International Stadium is 20,000 max.
Right. Yeah, great stuff. And looking at the fixtures list, I've already spent some time over the last couple of evenings just sort of working my way through the tables and the round of 16, right the way through to the final there. And it makes for an interesting tournament, as we would have hoped. In terms of predictions, whereabouts are we at the moment?
Funny you mentioned that. We did a World Cup predictions episode, Mr. Ferguson and I. I think it was episode 2, wasn't it? And we also ranked the kits. So do check that out. But shameless plug, obviously.
Of course.
But let's go by a game, on a game-by-game basis.
So sure.
We have Qatar versus Ecuador at 4 o'clock on the Sunday. And our Jay Cron versus the rest of the world prediction series will now be transferring over to the World Cup. Implicit, yes. Necessary? Absolutely. So, in terms of predictions, I want to get all three of us involved this time. So, Qatar versus Ecuador. Mr. Jennings, kick us off, please.
I don't think it will start great for the hosts. I think Ecuador have got probably slightly better personnel that can take part in that. Plus, we know that the Ecuadorians are an incredibly fit bunch. And so I will go with an Ecuador win.
Scoreline?
Pretty convincing. I'll go 2-0 Ecuador.
I think I'm going to go 2-1. I think Qatar will get a goal. And I'm wondering who's going to be kicking off the World Cup commencement ceremony. I think it's... They might have Osuna, who's a Latin American artist. Guimes, who's a French artist. Let's see how good the World Cup songs will be, because I believe there's two of them. Although there's the elephant in the room for people of my generation who know what World Cup song should be the official one. I'll leave it at that. I show speed as a World Cup song. Mr. Jennings, what are your thoughts on that, man?
I can honestly tell you it's not something I've listened to yet, JK.
I'm shocked.
But I'm, you know, perhaps I was advised by Mrs. Sutcliffe this morning at breakfast that the fifth form here actually have taken a liking to one song in particular, and it's something that is worth listening to. So I'm hoping to catch some fifth formers around the school at some point over the next 48 hours and get them to, I'm going to do a bit of a stop and sing thing with them. So are you in the fifth form? Yes. Please serenade me with this song and I'll feed back to you.
Mr. Ferguson, prediction for Qatar, Ecuador.
I've got a feeling that Qatar, and maybe this is just because I've read the BBC sport article looking at football in Qatar. I think they're going to get something out of it. Do I think they're going to get all 3 points? At first I thought yes, now I'm actually, in the heat of the moment, I'm wilting slightly. But I'm going to say it's going to be a 1-1 draw.
I don't think I've ever watched Qatar play football in my life.
Well, they did come second in the CONCACAF Gold Cup behind the USA.
Did they?
Was it last summer, perhaps? Which I was completely unaware of, to be honest.
Yeah.
But they won all of the Asian qualifying rounds, and it was only in the final against the USA that they fell.
Wow. I didn't know that. Maybe I'll end up with egg on my face after week one. Who knows? Match day one.
Jacob, and what did you have for that one?
I said 2-1.
Ecuador?
Yes.
Okay.
Moving on to the next game, England against Iran. Mr. Ferguson.
Do you know, I am so nervous about this World Cup group. There's so much in here that can go wrong. There's so much. England, let's face it, are not the most exciting team to watch. And the style that they play, this possession-based, get-a-goal-and-sit-back style, it's screaming out that they're going to get undone by someone. If it happens in the group stage, I'll actually be happy, because it might mean that it doesn't happen again. I'm going to predict an England win, but I'm going to predict it 2-1. I think Iran are going to score, because I am not confident in the England back line at the moment with all of the injuries that they've had, especially in the wide areas. I don't know if they're going to try and play 5-back, if they're going to try and play 4-back. If they try and play 4-back, I'm really nervous. I'm really, really nervous about that. But any of the fixtures they've got against Wales, you're trying to deal with the pace of Gareth Bale and Harry Wilson and Dan James breaking on you after, you know, you've been pushed up for 15 minutes. Against the USA, you're trying to deal with Christian Pulisic breaking on you that quickly as well. I am just nervous about it. I think they'll get through Iran, and that's all I'll say for the moment.
Mr. Jennings?
Hey, form's a thing. I'm a bit of a statistician when it comes to this. When it comes to sport, I do love a stat, and I look at England's form going into this tournament, and I think it's you know, fair to say that it's not been great. Just a few standout results really that support that opinion is that Hungary beat England 4-0. We drew with Italy 0-0. We lost to Italy 1-0. We drew with Germany 3-3. We've not won a game actually in about six matches. And you look at the form of Iran going into this as well, beating Uruguay back in September 1-0. They've also beaten Nicaragua and drawn away to Senegal. Having said all of that, I do think that England are going to surprise a few people in this tournament. I will throw us a lifeline. I promised myself I wouldn't do this 8 years ago or slightly longer ago, but I will yet again just fall into that trap of optimism. And I think England will top the group, and I think they will win all three of their games. And I am going to say that they will beat Iran I think they'll get off to a flyer. I think they'll beat Iran 2-0.
Interesting. Iran do have a couple of danger men. You've got Mehdi Taremi at Porto. Very, very good striker. I think very highly underrated. They've got Jahanbakhsh. Might butcher that. But used to play for Brighton. I think he's now maybe playing at RZ.
It's worth pointing out as well that the... I think it's the Iranian striker. I think he's injured at the moment, isn't he? The
Azmoun.
Yeah, Azmoun.
He's been named in the squad, though. So, again... Tricky customers, I think. Do they still have the left back who... Do you remember that ridiculous throw-in against Spain or Portugal when he tried to do a cartwheel?
Oh, that's bringing it back a bit.
But nonetheless, I'm going to go controversial here.
Oh, no.
And I'm going to go 2-1 Iran.
Wow, JK.
No, I'm interested in that. I think Iran could score... I don't think their star striker Azmoun is fit enough for Iran to score two goals. I think the England backline is probably bad enough for it, but I don't think Iran play in that way. So why do you think 2-1?
I think set pieces. I'm going to go with the old adage. I think set pieces might be key. You never know. The backline has a mistake in them. The England backline. Attacking players are on form. So. You know, deflection here and there. Dare I say Maguire own goal.
Give Harry Maguire credit where it's due. I don't think the England back line has demonstrated that it's got too much of a mistake in it, actually. I think back four for England is pretty good. And I think it will be Maguire and Stones at centre-half together. I think that's what he'll do. And they've got some cohesion there.
Huge lack of ability, though. Huge lack of ability.
But from set pieces, that's when Maguire's, you know, a bit of an asset, right?
Slabbered by name, slabbered by nature. Anyway, moving on to the Senegal versus Netherlands game, which is also on Monday at 4:00 UK time.
See, normally I actually would have completely no investment in this match. I think they're both fine teams. I think Netherlands are a little better than Senegal. However, a wrench has been thrown into my thinking, which is that Mr. Atherton has given me Netherlands as my sweepstake for the World Cup.
Oh, no.
Beating Brazil in the final.
I spoke about blind optimism not so long ago, didn't I?
So all of a sudden I'm thinking, yeah, but could they do it, though? I don't think they could. I think in my reply email to Mr. Atherton, I said I could probably make a bet that if Netherlands beat Brazil in the final, that I would buy all members of staff a small car and still sleep fairly well at night. But
clip that.
I will. Oh, I'm going to be in so much trouble if Netherlands come out and win this. But I will at least give them a victory over Senegal, and I'll give them... Actually, I think they might click here. I think I'm going to give them a 3-0.
That's bold. I'm going to go 2-1 to the Netherlands. I think they're solid at the back. In attack, this is where I think they're a bit inconsistent, relying on Memphis Depay as their central striker. I think... In between the boxes, as we'll talk about another European team, they'll be pretty good and in their own box, but I haven't seen much of them, so I'm just going off past instances, really. So, Mr. Jennings?
I think this is probably 1 and 2 in the group. I think both of these teams will qualify, and I think that it will be Netherlands first with Senegal second. I think Senegal will be the team that England play in the round of 16. And so just kind of working on that basis, I think that Netherlands will beat Senegal. Am I right in thinking that Senegal, as things stand, are without a certain star player?
Mane is in the squad, although he's expected to miss the first couple of matches, in inverted commas. So let's see if the Senegalese witch doctors will do their job. He might be fit and firing against the Netherlands.
Now, you are talking here about the best country in terms of football on the African continent. You know, the winners of the African Cup of Nations, obviously, beating Egypt in the final. And so they are going to be a good team, but any team without their star player is going to struggle a little bit. And Holland have got, the Netherlands, sorry, have got some of the best players in the world in their position, which is why I just don't think you can rule them out. And in terms of a team going into the tournament on form, they've had some good results. Van Gaal's done a good job there over the past 12 months. They've gone from pretty much being uncompetitive in an international setting to actually winning games and beating good sides as well. So I think that Holland will get enough here. So I will go with it seems to be the score I'm picking the most at the moment. I will go with 2-0.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, Jake Run's currently got 3-2-1 away victories.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic.
That's a stat. I'm going to kick us off with the 7 o'clock kickoff, the US against Wales. England's group, I think this will be the game that decides second place.
I agree with that.
Could be the game that decides first place. Do check my World Cup predictions for that one, episode 2. I think I'm going to go for the US on this one. And I'm going to go 1-0 to the US. I think they're an interesting side. They've got decent depth across the board. Do they have the best fullbacks? Probably not defensively. I think their midfield, they've got a good engine room there. Tyler Adams, Weston McKennie, Brendan Aaronson at Leeds. I think in attack, they've got Giorena, Pulisic, Jesus Ferreira, who's their number 9, I believe. I am missing probably a few more players, so we're going to hit up the search engine for their World Cup squad.
While you're talking about that, I was watching the TIFO IRL video yesterday on the World Cup squad, particularly on Group B, and how the USA play. And they kind of reduced Weston McKennie to a bit of a long throw merchant.
Really?
Yeah. And I was a little bit surprised by that. I think he's actually a player that's got a tremendous amount of potential.
He has, yeah.
I think him and Giovanni Reyna are a pair of really wonderful young American players. Mm. And I think they could really... I think, personally, they could gel quite well together.
Giovanni Reyna's at Dortmund, isn't he?
Yes, he is, yeah.
Is he still there? He's not playing much for them, I don't think, is he?
I think that's a crying shame if he isn't.
Yeah, I can't guarantee that. I just think he's fallen a little bit second string over the course of this season. But he was touted as one of their best young players, wasn't he?
Mm.
What's your score going to be, sir?
I think this might be the standout fixture, actually, of the first round of games. I think there's potential for this to be really, really good.
Yeah, cracker.
I'm going to back... I think I'm going to pack Wales, I think. And this might go against what I said in our separate World Cup predictions video a little while ago, because I've honestly forgotten what I said in that. I wasn't particularly firm on anything at that point anyway. I'm still not really. But I think Wales have got this, and I think it's going to be a 3-2 classic.
You've taken exactly my score. And I am with you all the way. I think this game will be a cracker. And I think what will be highlighted in this game is not what the sides have got going forwards, but perhaps what they don't have more towards the back. And I think that some sort of combination of Kiefer Moore, Gareth Bale and Dan James has got such a wide variety of threat, pace, quality on the ball, clinical in the box. Gareth Bale has got set piece delivery. He's good in the air. He can whip a corner in as well if needs be. So I just think that this could be probably the game of our group, and I think it will be a real cracker. And I think Wales will finish second in the group as well. So I'm going to have to, now that Sayre's got ahead of me that on that one, I'm going to have to say this is going to be 4-3.
It's your fault for inviting me to go first.
I know. Well, no, it was your turn. I'm gonna have to go 4-3. 4-3 to Wales.
We're going to wrap up the first match day. We've got about 8 more fixtures to go to. So we'll go through a rapid fire.
Sure.
Mr. Ferguson, kick us off with Argentina, Saudi Arabia on the Tuesday at 10 a.m.
Argentina, Saudi Arabia. I mean, this shouldn't be a contest. and it shouldn't be by quite a distance. I'm going to say 4-0 Argentina.
Wow. Argentina could break the all-time unbeaten record for a national side. They're currently unbeaten in 35.
Great stuff.
Italy were unbeaten in 37, I believe. So that could be something. I think Messi also has the potential to get the most assists at the World Cup. Obviously, Juice Fontaine has the record for the most goals. So in terms of current play, I don't know who's going to beat that. Let us know in the comments. We have comments on the website, don't we, Mr. Ferguson?
I have to approve them manually, but yes.
Do let us know. Mr. Jennings.
Your score, JK, for this one?
I'm going to go 3-1 Argentina. I think...
You think Saudi Arabia are going to score?
You might as well give them a chance. I think it's more likely than not in football these days that clean sheets are few and far between, I think.
I normally agree with you, but Argentina... their mentality is absolutely suited to international football. They will defend like bare-chested, marauding lions.
I think this is going to be Messi 12, Saudi Arabia 0. I'm with you all the way. I think that this will be it'll get to the stage of damage limitation for Saudi Arabia here. I think Argentina are going to be well up for this. I will go 5-0 wow. Argentina, and I will even go with a Messi hat-trick.
Wow. I don't think that's that outrageous a prediction, to be honest.
No. You went with... I can't get ahead of you at the moment, sir. I would have said 4-0 as well. But I like the fact you're really sort of stretching me here, making me make a decision. 3 or 5? I'll go 5.
Denmark, Tunisia. Mr. Jennings, kick us off with this one.
Thank you, JK. Great. I think Denmark are going to have a good tournament, actually. I was talking to Mr. Oakman today at breakfast, and he thinks that Denmark could surprise a few people and perhaps even pip France to group winners here. And they're going to have a very good tournament, I think, Denmark. I think there's a sort of... I think Denmark will be a lot of nations' second teams going into this, and I suspect that they will win this first game pretty comfortably. So unsurprisingly, 2-0 Denmark.
Mr. Ferguson.
I also think that Denmark are going to do really well. It's going to be interesting to see how they play, but I think they're going to play with a lot of heart. I think they're going to play with a lot of technique as well. They've got some really, really good players in that Denmark squad. I'm going to take who's in the Tunisia squad at the moment? I used to be quite familiar with their squad, but they've fallen off my radar a bit.
Wahbi Khazri, you've got Hannibal Mabry, who's in the squad as well. El Askiri, who plays as a defensive midfielder for Köln. I believe you've got... Well, let's check the Tunisia squad. You might have quite a few Ligue 1-based players in there.
I think just based on the names you've thrown at me, I think they are a different calibre to the Denmark players. I don't think they'll be the worst team in the tournament, Tunisia, but I think Denmark got this 3-0.
Great.
I'm going to go... I think we're 2-1. I think that's...
To Tunisia?
To Denmark.
JK loves the both teams to score.
I just think that international football's geared up in a way that players' qualities will come to the fore because it's at a slower pace. And that's why Man United fans of old might be thinking, why is Paul Pogba doing so well for France but not for Man United? It's just because it's a slower pace. Simple as that. I'll kick us off with Mexico, Poland.
Oh, that's a tough one.
I'm going to go 2-2.
Yard.
I think Poland, they've got some interesting players. I think they've got Bednarek at the back, Matty Cash at right back. Szczesny's always got mistaken him in goal.
Zielinski from Napoli.
Zielinski, yes, as the 10. Obviously Lewandowski.
And Lewandowski seems to thrive being a national talisman.
Yeah, this is the one yesterday. Last night I got to, and I was sat there with I'm a Celebrity on and trying to rack my brains with this one. And I actually got to the stage where I had both of the squads up and I was going through it. Poland have got this, I think, 2-1.
Mr. Ferguson?
I am... You know what? Let's sweep out the board. I'm going to go for a Mexico win. I'm not particularly convinced one way or the other.
No.
So I'm doing it for the chaos, but I'm going to go...
Love it.
I think I'm going to go 1-0 Mexico.
Interesting.
That is a full range, isn't it? Exactly. As we thought, that is a tough fixture to call.
Mr. Ferguson, kick us off with France, Australia.
I really want Australia to do well. I've got a couple of nice connections with them. It's they're by all accounts a fairly nice team. But France are France.
Fairly nice team. And then you've got Mbappe, Benzema.
I don't think Benzema has kicked a ball for a while because he's had muscle fatigue at Real Madrid. Who, by the way, will, after we do our 8 predictions, we'll quickly touch on what happened between last week and this week in terms of club football. But he hasn't kicked a ball in a while.
Yeah, so that's not going to stop him. He's coming, Benzema. He'll do what he wants. He's the Ballon d'Or winner. So I've got France for this, and I've got them. I think this could get messy for Australia. I think France have got this 5-0.
Wow.
Mr. Jennings.
Yeah, I think it's France. I will go slightly less reserved. I will go slightly more reserved. I will go slightly more reserved here. Sorry. And I will say it will be... I can't get away from a 2-0. I'm going to be different. I will say that it will be 3-0 to France.
Am I the only one who's going for a draw?
Is this optimism?
You will be.
I think I'm going to go... Let's say... Dug on my head... Yes, of course. Let's go 2-1 France. I think French backline, injuries, Australia might get a penalty. They got a penalty last time. Mtiti handballed it from a Matthew Lecky cross. Australia have got a few technical players. They've called up a player who's... I don't know his name.
Chris Wood's Australian, isn't he, for Newcastle?
New Zealand.
Oh, is he New Zealand? Cobblin, yeah. I shouldn't say that.
They do have Aaron Moy of Celtic. They have Matty Ryan, who used to play for Arsenal. They've got Melbourne City FC's Jamie McLaren. I'm trying to find this guy.
I tell you what,
name.
Mr. Jennings, if this does turn out to be a World Cup where both teams score often, we're going to look like melons.
We are indeed. We are indeed. Absolutely.
I mean, I already looked like one after last week's Brentford prediction, but...
I tell you what, that's a good opportunity for me to tell you what the scores were from that set of predictions. Because we had, in the end, I think we had 15 predictions or 16 predictions. I can tell you that, Jaquan, you got 5 correct results, and myself acting as the rest of the world, I got 8 correct results. However...
Oh, no.
I got 1 correct score, and Jaquan, master of the predictions, got 4 correct results.
Oh, my goodness.
All in a row as well.
Wow. So the Newcastle player is called Garang Kuo, and he's going to be joining them in January. So... That's that. We're going to wrap up this, talk about club football, go over last week's predictions, and then fortunately I'll have to leave you guys, although I love being on the mic. Morocco-Croatia, I'm going to go 2-0 Croatia. Morocco do have Hakimi, Mazraoui, Ziyech, who've all returned to the fold. Not sure if Adel Tarat is still knocking about. He could be playing. En-Nesyri, he plays for Morocco as well, I believe, of Sevilla. Apologies to my Spanish teacher there. I'm going to go 2-0. I think the Croatian midfield is just going to outclass the Moroccan midfield, and midfielders, whether game is won or lost, as they say.
Yeah, while you were doing that, I was just quickly looking up who the head coach was for Morocco. Because like you said, they've got some really good players. But their head coach is a chap called Walid Regragui.
Okay.
The blank faces that I'm seeing around the studio suggest to me that he's not particularly well known for much around here. I think is important with the caliber of players he's got. I think trying to drill them into a cohesive unit will be very difficult.
What should be your score, sir? What would you go for?
I would personally go, I think Jokeran's right to predict that Croatia will win this, and I think it's going to be 3-0.
Yep. I'll go 2-1, I think, Croatia.
Moving on to Germany, Japan. Mr. Ferguson, kick us off, please.
What to think about Germany? It seems these days they've got a bad result in them. And I'm going to upset the apple cart here, and I'm going to say it's going to come here. I think they're going to drop points to Japan, and I think it's going to be 1-1.
Fascinating, Mr. Jennings.
I think Sir's got some really good observations there. I think he's right. I think Germany don't look quite the same team as they were 4 years ago. But I do think that they are going to top this group. I think they will get ahead of Spain. I think Spain are probably going to be tournament winners in a couple of years' time, or in that conversation. Certainly in the next World Cup, I think they'll be a force to be reckoned with again. I think this is probably a tournament too soon for them. And I think provided England have a bit of good fortune in the quarterfinals, I think they will play Spain in the semis, having finished second in this group. And I just think, certainly in a midfield sense, I think there's a lack of experience in the Spanish midfield at the moment. And I think Busquets is starting to look a little bit older. And despite the talent either side of him, I think the Germans will be too strong. And I think they will use experience here to get them over the line. And I think they will win this game 2-0.
I'm going to go for a Germany win. Contrast to my heart, which wants to go for a Japanese win, just because they got some really young, exciting players. I'm going to go 3-2. I think Ritsu Doan of Brighton is going to be a very, very interesting impact sub. I think they've got Kubo on the right, who's a wonderfully gifted player. Daichi Kamada from Frankfurt has been on form. They've got the experienced heads at the back in form of Maya Yoshida and Yuto Nagatomo, formerly of Inter Galatasaray.
Is Minamino in the squad?
I believe he is as well. I was using him on FIFA yesterday, so Minamino is in the squad. Moving on to Spain, Costa Rica, Mr. Jennings.
Yeah, Spain. Spain have got this 2-1.
Mr. Ferguson.
Spain have got this 3-1.
2-0 Spain for me. I'm going to kick us off with Belgium, Canada. I'm going to go for a 2-1 Belgium victory.
See, this is interesting.
Yeah.
This is a really interesting game. Belgium are the big heavy favourites going into this. Belgium aren't as good as they have been.
No.
Canada are much better than they have been.
I agree. Mm.
This could be a case of two lines on a graph meeting each other as they briefly, I think in this case, pass each other in the opposite direction. I don't have enough faith in that theory, though. 2-1 Belgium. No, I'm not going to say that because Jake Rand's got that. If Jake Rand's got 2-1, I'm actually going to go for a 1-1 draw.
Damn,
I think
you got me again. I think it will be a draw. And so on that, the thing is, we always lean towards, as Jake Rand's made such a good point, we do often see goals in a World Cup game. Is this going to be the first 0-0 of the tournament? I think Belgium are over the hill. I think Canada are on the up. I think they have got a couple of really good players. I do fancy them to score.
I don't see a world where this game goes by without a goal.
All right. I'll say I'll go 2-2.
Moving on to, actually, I didn't see this, but we've got four more games after this match day. Wow. Switzerland, Cameroon. Mr. Ferguson, please kick us off.
I think it's an interesting match of two teams who have been better than they are now. So who's showed their age the most gracefully? I think it's going to be... I think I have a bit of a European bias, and I think that because of that, and because I can't pick, I can't separate these two in my mind, I think that Cameroon must be better than I'm giving them credit for. So I'm going to give them a 2-1 win.
Okay, I think gone are the playing days of Samuel Eto'o, but not his optimism. He coming out the other day, wasn't he, and saying how he thinks Cameroon will make the final or something, which I thought was ridiculous, if I'm being honest with you. So I will go with a Switzerland win, and I will say that it will be a 1-0 victory.
I'm going to go 1-1 here. Cameroon, I believe, as he checks the internet once more.
You don't usually need to do that, JK.
Schema.
Football.
So they do have Eric Maxim Choupo-Moting up front, the German Cameroonian Lewandowski, some call him. They have Nicolas Nkudu,
formerly of Stoke City.
Yep. Now in the big time, you've got Nkulu, who used to play for Watford and Torino. Vincent Aboubakar, formerly of Besiktas and Porto, could still be playing for Besiktas, but wonderful striker. Carl Toko Ekambi as well on the left wing. Andre Onana, Andre Frank Zambo Onguissa, Brian Mbeumo of Brentford, Olivier Ncham, formerly of Genoa and Celtic.
That's a much better squad than I gave them credit for.
Georges Kevin Nkudu, formerly of Spurs and Besiktas. I'm going to go 2-0 Cameroon.
Wow.
That squad convinced me. They have Pierre Koundé as well, who used to play for Mainz, or still plays for Mainz, not sure. But Mr. Jennings, kick us off with Uruguay, South Korea.
So I think I've got Uruguay down too. I'm just going to verify this. I think I've got them down to finish second in their group. And I think that Uruguay have got... an unfortunate, it's the World Cup at the end of the day. I think in another tournament, Uruguay could do relatively well if they're one of those sides that needs to avoid the bigger teams early on. And I think they'll play Brazil in the last 16, and that will be the end of them. So I think they'll do okay here. So I think they've probably just about got enough to beat South Korea. So I'll say 2-1.
Mr. Ferguson?
I think they've got more than enough to beat South Korea. I think it's going to be... I'm torn between 2-0 and 3-0. I'm going to go for flipping an imaginary coin. Ding! 2-0.
I'm going to take the others. I'm going to go 3-0. I think Fede Valverde will score yet again from 20 yards out.
I think, that's a prediction.
I think...
Left side of the box, right side of the box?
Let's say right side of the box. Cross goal finish. I think... Uruguay are very good at the back. They've got Mateus Oliveira, left back of Napoli. Very, very good, solid player. They've got decent centre-halves. Jimenez, who's a stalwart of Atletico Madrid. Midfield is where it gets interesting. I think... Let me double-check if he's Uruguayan. They've got a player called Manuel Ugarte at Sporting. Sporting club in Portugal, who is a very, very interesting player. I think him, Fede Valverde, and I can't remember another Uruguayan midfielder, but Nathan Nandez, actually. Let's say it's Nandez. Plus the two number nines in Cavani and Suarez. They've got Darwin Nunez as well. I think they'll have too much for South Korea. A Son-strengthened South Korea. I'll take this one from the start. Portugal-Ghana. This is a good point to touch on the Cristiano Ronaldo news. What are your thoughts?
I think that a lot of what he's saying is actually... So I didn't get your prediction for the Uruguay-South Korea match.
3-0 Uruguay.
3-0 Uruguay. I think that there's a lot of truth in what he's saying. I think he thinks all of it's true. You wouldn't go out and do an interview like that unless you thought it was true. I think there's a lot of truth about a lot of things in there. I think he probably does feel disrespected by Ten Hag. I think he probably is still grieving for the loss of his son, because that must be a horrible thing to go through. I'm very glad I've never had to experience anything like that myself. But I think that of everything there, I think it's his choice of interviewer that's harmed him the most here. I think choosing Piers Morgan has created a certain mindset in the eyes of and the eyes and ears of people who are reading and listening to that interview. Piers Morgan already has a reputation for sensationalizing and for trying to stir up drama and for trying to stir up controversy. And I think if he'd done this interview with anyone else, I don't think it would have affected his reputation as much as I think it has doing it with Piers Morgan.
Yeah. I'm disappointed. I think there's lots to unpick here, and there are some points that were mentioned in the interview that Sir's already highlighted that I feel very it's very difficult to try and meet somebody on some of the levels there who have experienced such grief, right? And it's no doubt something that, in my honest opinion, probably the worst thing that can ever happen to anybody, to lose a child. Just looking slightly wider, because it's not just that he touches upon, an awful lot there. We heard, looking back to how he struggled over the summer as well. I did wonder at the time whether or not there was something else going on with regards to his health. And I'm just a little bit surprised about some of the criticisms he makes. He targets indirectly quite a few of the younger players at the club. I think a lot of those younger players look up to him as an idol. He has quite a bit to say on the current manager again, which I think is unprofessional. I do not in any way, shape or form support the ownership of the club. And I think I've said that here before as well, but I'm not sure that's the right way to go about things. And so the word, I guess that's where I am with it, is that I feel extremely sorry for him and for his family in terms of the grief they have experienced. And if that was what he wanted, if that's what he has gotten from that interview, the opportunity to really vent how he feels about what has definitely been probably one of the most difficult times in his life, then I am pleased for him. But I'm disappointed in where he also took that interview. And I think ultimately he's looking for an exit strategy.
Yes, there's one thing that is curious about that interview to me, and it's where he specifically mentions that David Gill, after he left, that United really started experiencing issues.
Yes.
That struck me as odd, because it never seemed to me like Ronaldo was the kind of person who cared about that side, about the David Gill side of football.
It felt rehearsed, didn't it, in elements?
Yes, it did.
Yeah.
That's my only area where I thought something doesn't feel right, and I wonder if that's just tainted my view on it a little bit as well.
Yeah, he's been. There's no question about this. I think he's been advised very badly, and I'm with you. I think that's the type of feature of that interview which has perhaps come from somewhere else. We know about his relationship with Alex Ferguson, and you know, describes him as being a fatherly figure for him inside of football. So, yeah, I think. Looking at this from a slightly higher perspective, I think what he wants to do is get out. And I think one way that you do that, which I would not advise anybody ever goes down the route of, is to burn your bridges. And I think if you look at who he attacks indirectly or directly in that interview, it is everybody apart from the fans and then three players, only one of which is a Portuguese player. Bruno Fernandes is not mentioned directly, which I also find slightly...
I feel quite bad for Diogo Dalo in this case.
Yeah,
pretty much the only first team player who's singled out by Ronaldo as being the right one, having the right mentality, the right attitude.
He mentioned Casemiro and Lissandro Martinez as well.
He did as well, yes. But I wanted to point out Dalo because he's young.
Yes, exactly. I agree with you there in terms of a young player. So. Yeah, he will be made to feel quite awkward, I suspect, as well. So,
I think that I'm ambivalent on this one. I think I'm waiting for part two. I want to get the full context.
Yeah, it's a fair point.
And I think those clips in isolation, are more sensationalist in the whole. I don't think he said anything really too controversial. I think he's touched on what we know, which is the club hasn't really moved on. It's not progressing. And ultimately, change is needed at the club, both in terms of mentality and structure. Going back to Portugal, Ghana, very, very quickly. I'm going to kick us off here. I'm going to go 2-0 Portugal. Yeah, Mr. Ferguson.
It's Portugal's game to win. I don't think they'll be particularly impressive, to be honest. I think it's just going to be a 1-0.
Mr. James. Yeah, I was going to go with the same thing. I will go with a... I will go with it. Did you say 2-1, JK?
I said 2-0.
I'll go 2-1. 2-1 Portugal.
Brazil, Serbia. I'm also going to kick us off with this one because Brazil are my favourites still in the World Cup. I'm going to go 3-1 Brazil.
Oh, the eyes turn to me. Brazil are too good. Serbia, I think, are a better team than people give them credit for, but I'm gonna look Mr. Jennings in the eye as I say this to see if I catch a glimpse of despair. I'm gonna say 2-0.
Oh, no. Okay. I will go for a 3-1.
I went 3-1, so
no.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, okay, fine. Okay, so I guess I'm gonna have to go 2-1. 2-1.
Looking back on last week's club football. As we say goodbye to Mr. Jennings.
I'm sorry for taking so many of your predictions.
That's all right, sir. That's all right.
Let's talk quickly about
we're looking at last week's predictions, last week's club results.
Yeah. So let's react to those.
So
Alejandro Garnacho, possible Ronaldo replacement.
Well, what a time to come out and do all of that. What a tremendous performance he put in. Just so direct, so positive. Just really such a breath of fresh air in that match. It was really, really wonderful. It was exciting to watch as a fan. And I think quite often that's been lacking lately. There is definitely more team cohesion in Manchester United now, but there's still quite often a lack of end product. And I think Garnacho, his fearlessness more than anything else, will make a big difference.
I completely agree. Let's react quickly to the predictions. So obviously I got 4 correct scores.
You did.
So I did pip you this week, didn't I?
You more than pip me. You thrashed me.
Wow.
You got 17 to my 11.
Wow. So let's go through your predictions first. So what were your correct results and then perfect score?
So correct results were Tottenham Leeds. I had Tottenham to win that. I had Newcastle beating Chelsea. I had Arsenal beating Wolves. I had Man United beating Fulham. I had Napoli beating Udinese. I had Marseille beating Monaco. I had Inter beating Atalanta. And I had Juventus beating Lazio. My correct score, rather, was Bayern Munich beating Schalke 2-0.
Hmm.
You had if you count the results and the scores the same, we predicted the same amount of correct results. So you had Bournemouth beating Everton, you had Napoli beating Udinese, you had Schalke beating, you had Bayern beating Schalke, you had Inter beating Atalanta, and you had Milan beating Fiorentina. But you had a wonderful run of 4 correct Premier League scores. You had Nottingham Forest beating Crystal Palace 1-0, you had Newcastle beating Chelsea 1-0, you had Arsenal beating Wolves 2-0, and you had Man United beating Fulham 2-1. Obviously, neither of us got the Man City Brentford result correct.
I got it absolutely wrong.
I got it absolutely wrong too. We had a 5-0 and 4-1 respectively. What's happened to Manchester City? There's something really strange going on. They are too good a team to be dropping this many points.
I'm going to throw in Real Madrid on this one as well. I think it's just before the World Cup. It's not an excuse, but players are just they've got their eye on the World Cup, as humans do.
But you've got Erling Haaland up front. He's not going to the World Cup, and he is just a machine. True. There is something strange going on at Manchester City. How many points have they dropped now? Because they're five behind Arsenal at this point.
They're five behind Arsenal. I think they've dropped maybe 6 or 7 points. So, being brutally honest, I think they will win the league. I think it's maybe a sense of complacency. They're thinking Arsenal are eventually going to slip up. But at the same time, they've got an obsessed winning coach who's going to be on them.
Yeah, they've dropped 10 points so far, which... There were times last season it didn't look like they'd dropped 10 points all season. I'm just really confused. They're still the highest scoring team in the league. They've still got the best goal difference in the league. I'm just really confused why things aren't clicking for them.
I think this might be something that we could parallel with Real Madrid, as I mentioned. It could be a lack of what Ancelotti called for Real Madrid, which I agree with him completely on that one. Lack of defensive intensity. And that is, so for example, Real Madrid dropped points against Vallecano. They lost to Leipzig and Girona. They dropped points. So ultimately, I think it's just for the World Cup. They've got loads of internationals going. So I'm excited to see how the second half of the season is going to go, especially in La Liga, the Premier League. Can Napoli maintain their run? Those are all questions that they're going to be answered in the next half of the season. Got the World Cup to enjoy. Hopefully we could get a few watch-alongs here in the studio. Maybe a live call-in if Mr. Ferguson could work his magic. So stay tuned. And this has been the 9th episode, I believe. Sorry, 8th episode of the O Jogo Bonito podcast.
They'll go by so quickly.
Your host, Jay Cron, with Mr. Ferguson and Mr. Jennings. Thank you ever so much for listening, and take care. Have a good one.